Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Biosphere Solutions. Today I'm talking to our Arabic translator, Imad, who is coming in from Cairo. Hi, Imad.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. I guess first things first, where are you originally from?
Well, I am from Damascus, Syria.
And is there anything you'd like to say about your life when you were growing up?
Well, I was grown in a, you can say, religion family. I was raised by a divorced father. My mother and my father divorced when I was 1 year old. And he married two women after her. So, yeah, you can say I had like a regular childhood. But it was fine. Everything was good. I was a very polite and calm child. Then when I was in teenage, the whole thing exploded. The civil war in Syria, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I was like ninth grade, I think. Yeah, maybe. And my city, actually, my actual city or village, it was from the very first ones to rise against the government in Syria. So we had it from the very start. Yeah.
What were you doing as this was happening?
At that time, I was a student, as I told you, and I was my mother's father. Died like 1 month ago from the beginning of the whole thing, or the Syrian revolution, if you want to call it. So I was in my mother's house for like 2 months or three when protesters start to make their protests, and the government army came and shot them. Afterwards, many people were arrested, including me. I was, as I told you, ninth grade, but they didn't take me for a very long time, like 2 days or three, I don't really remember. Yeah, after that, my city or my village became under the authority of one Islamic group called the Islam Army. It's a very, very group, very large group of Islamics. So I then afterwards, after like 2 or 3 years, I moved to Damascus, the capital, to start my studies. I was...
What were you studying, by the way?
Well, I was studying electrical power engineering in Damascus University. It was fine. Didn't like it, actually. Yeah, but being a student, a university student in a war zone, it's like being in a film. Every day is a new segment of that film. Many of my friends injured, some of them died even, in my college, in my university. Many of them were arrested from the Syrian government and from the others, let's call them, everyone but Syrian government. So for many reasons, the Syrian government or al-Assad government took them to for recruitment for their army, and every group take people for their own reasons, like for beliefs or religion or just for appearance. If you like have a long beard or some kind of hairstyle, they might like arrest you for being just you. Yeah.
Yeah, and what was happening on campus while you were studying?
Well, it's like everything was going normally, like nothing is happening. But each week or 2 weeks, alternately from many armies actually, not one, Islam Army, Kitab al-Tawheed, its name in Arabic. Yeah, many groups or armies were attacking Damascus, and our campus or our university itself was at the very edge of Damascus. So we had most of the attacks on us. Yeah, but when the attack is end, everyone go to his work like nothing happened. Yeah, it was very, very weird and very, like I said, like a movie. It's not believable.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And then what led you to leave Syria?
Well, the place I was living in, it was under like I said, the authority of Islamic group, and those people didn't really like those who's aren't like them. The people with different beliefs, I can say, or different kind of the beliefs. So they want everyone to be just like them. And if you just want it to be a little bit different, they won't treat you well. I can guarantee that. So that wasn't comfortable at all. Eventually they arrested me for many reasons. Mainly because I am different from them. When I got out and went to Damascus, like I told you, the situation in Damascus wasn't good either. Many people were arrested, actually, to go to the army, to be recruited in Al-Assad army. So I have no choice. I don't want, yeah, the main thing or the main reason I came out or from Syria, I get out from Syria is because I don't want to kill anyone. I don't want to be a soldier. So that is the main reason, I think. And I want to live. I think that would make it much easier to understand. I want to live a good life.
Yeah,
So
you want to live without killing other people.
without killing other people, without being killed, without being harmed or arrested or kidnapped for some very, very stupid reasons. It's not safe for anyone, not just for me. Not safe. So I got to go there, to got out of there. It's not a choice, actually.
How did you get to Egypt?
Egypt, of course, requires a visa for Syrians, like every country in the world. So, and of course, they won't give the visa to anyone, only the high-class Syrians with a lot of money or with high degrees. So I got to go the hard way through Sudan. Sudan is one of the very, very little amount of countries would let the Syrians come in without visa. So I traveled to Sudan via a plane. And from Sudan, I stayed there for like 3 months to collect some money to be able to go to Egypt, illegally, of course. Yeah, and then I took my great journey from Sudan to Egypt through the Great Desert. And I arrived to Egypt in like 2 to 3 days, I think. It was a very hard journey.
I believe it. What's your status now?
Well, I live now in Egypt, Cairo, and I work just a regular work in a supermarket, and I try to translate something, some podcast.
Yeah, and specifically the History of Germany by Travis Dow, who I also interviewed with. But what's your purpose for translating that podcast?
Well, the main purpose was the history of Germany is very important to someone who just got in Germany, like the Syrian refugees in Germany or in Europe in general. So being have those information in Arabic language to those refugees will help them a lot to understand the community or the society they are in now, and to understand their history and their life and their culture. That would be very helpful for them and useful.
And as far as your personal status, you're now listed as a refugee by the UN, right?
Yeah, right. When I got to Egypt, I got to the UN and registered as a refugee.
So now that means you cannot be deported back to Syria, but you can be sent to other countries, right?
Absolutely. I can't be deported to Syria, even the Egyptian can't. I either go any to close my file in the UN, and then dealing with the government, with the Egyptian government, and doing the paperwork, getting a visa for 7 days to leave Egypt in those days, or I will be arrested. That's the only way to go out of Egypt to any other country, or through the UN itself. It's a matter of luck. There are more than 200,000 Syrian refugee in Egypt. Egypt is not like a main focused on. Syrians mostly go to Turkey, to Europe. A very little of them, because the journey to Egypt is very. So many of them won't take the risk even. It's even harder than going from Turkey to Europe through the sea. Yeah, for as I was saying, there are more than 200,000 Syrians or refugee Syrians in Egypt. And each year, the UN sent to many different countries less than 2,000. So the chance you got sent by the UN, it's very, very little. You can't depend on it for getting out of Egypt. Yeah, that's the thing.
So I know this already, but so you don't want to stay in Egypt?
Well, I think even Egyptians don't want to stay in Egypt. I mean, it's a good country for like for a visit for 2 months or 1 month, but not more. It's not very good for a different individual like me, and not very good in general, like financial situation isn't good, work isn't good, even education, everything, like any other Arabic country, except of course the Gulf countries.
Yes, well, oil does wonders for those things.
God bless the oil. Yeah.
Yeah. Which countries would you be most interested in moving to if you could leave Egypt?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. So, like any country that's safe and provides a good life for a hard work individual. You know what I mean? Like Europe and its all countries. U.S., Canada, Australia, any country that would be a safe place and provides a good life.
Yeah. If you did get to another country, what kind of work would you want to do?
Well, it depends on which country it is, the state I am in that time. It depends. Of course, at the start, I would work in whatever I can work in. Eventually, of course, I don't know actually. I have many hobbies and many things I would like to work in, like podcasting or audio shows. I don't know if you knew, but I like 3D design and such. So there are many fields or things I can work in or I want to work in, but I am limited now by the reality of my situation.
And if you did make your own podcast, what type of podcast would you want to make?
Well, actually, there are many ideas in my head, like a podcast about the Arabic history or the Arabic modern history, like from 2000s to now, or 2010 to now, about the Arabic culture, culture, about many views of Islam, or many different ways of Islam, how to address it, how the West world should view those way or those different groups and shapes or shades from Islam. So there are many thoughts and ideas about a podcast, but mainly a modern history of the Arabic world. I think it's the main focus.
Goodness knows, I haven't been able to find any of those.
Yeah.
Would you be able to do that from Egypt, or would you need to get to another country?
Well, of course, I need to go to a country I can say whatever I want. I can have the time to do actually to do the actual recording and script writing. As you know, podcasting doesn't earn you much money in my case, so you have to have a source of money to be able to write or to record such a podcast. And of course, you have to be safe. You have to be able to criticize and say whatever you want. And you can't, unfortunately, you can't do that in Egypt.
Yes, it's nothing like hearing from people who don't have freedom of speech to appreciate having it where you do live.
Yeah. You have to appreciate that.
Well, as far as time spent translating my podcast and the history of Germany, how much time can you devote to that now?
To translate? Well, it depends on my work here in Egypt or in many countries. In many countries, I believe there are very long work hours to be able to afford to live and open a house. So I don't. It depends on the time. I don't have much time. Like in the week, I can translate for 3 or 2 hours or best cases, 4 hours. And usually I am so tired, I won't even use that time to translate. You know, translation or any mental associated job or work, you need to be focused and to be able to work with thoughts and work with the words to translate the script ahead of you. So you really need to be not very tired or not exhausted from working.
I can attest to that. Before I got my current job, I was doing manual labor and was lucky if I could write five paragraphs in a week.
Yeah. You have to be very clear and well rested to be able to produce thoughts and ideas.
How much would you need every month to take one day off a week?
Well, one day off week, yeah. I don't need much actually. It's nothing to comparing to those who live in Western countries or Europe, or I would say like 1 to 150, $100, I think, or less even. I don't know. It really depends on many factors.
If anybody would like to help Imad out with translating and
Yeah, to speed up the translation process.
Yeah. Do you have a Patreon?
Well, at this moment, I don't, but I am planning to create one if I was able to convince people to support me. Of course, I will make a Patreon page.
If anybody listening to this would like to donate to Imad's Patreon, please do. That'll help him, help me, and help Syrian refugees adapt to their new lives in Germany.
Yeah. Actually, some of them contacted me and they told me that they are very happy with the podcast. They are very little amount of people, I can say that. But I am glad I helped some people understanding and adapting to the Europe society, or German society, to be specific.
And I'm guessing that if anybody would like to help you emigrate, you would like to hear from them?
Of course, I would love to hear from them, yeah. Of course.
So if anybody wants to help you out, they should just contact you on Facebook and find you on the Biosphere Solutions Facebook page.
Yes.
All right. And let's see, is there anything else you would like to tell everyone?
Well, I would like to tell everyone, the Western people, of course, in specific, to know that there are many people like me, many individuals that are very different of the mainstream media ideas about Arabic people or the people of Arabic countries. We are a little in number, I can say that, I know that, but we can make a difference. We can, and I think we will make a difference. And the numbers of people that are growing up, the people who wants to be a part of the modern world, to be a part of the great nations without all the bad things we have now in our societies. And going to a Western country like USA or Europe harder and harder for people like me, that's not helping. If anyone with open mind, with willing to work and be part of a great nation or of a great country, of any country, and this country is just making it hard and harder to be in that country, it's really not helping. I mean, it's of course it's the right of the countries to keep their people safe, and with toxic ideas has slipped through these countries, and I know that. But on the other hand, there are many people with good mentality and really want to be a part of that modern nations, but they are keeping them out without any consideration of their life or their hopes or anything, actually. All of that because a group of people made some very, very bad things in these countries in the name of Arabic world. So you ban all the Syrians or you ban all the Arabs. And that is not a solution to anyone.
A message of support here. And if somebody would like you to translate something, what would you be most interested in translating?
Well, I am interested in any podcast that talks about history and culture, even technology, medicine. I am interested in all of kinds of podcasts, I think.
And if somebody just wants you to translate a few documents for them?
Well, I am ready.
And should they also just contact you through Facebook?
Well, yeah, I think Facebook will be the best way for now.
Okay. And what sort of documents would you like to translate?
As I mentioned, any any documents that contains history or tech topic related, yeah, I would be happy to translate it.
Everyone, thanks for listening to my interview with Imad. I hope I was able to edit it well enough that it sounded better than it sounded with our internet connection to us. Hi, everyone. Ben here. If anyone could help Imad out, I'd be very grateful. The first $100 a month that I get on Patreon will be going to him. And if anyone could help him emigrate to another country, that would be even better. Particularly, five Canadians could get together and sponsor him for resettlement. The Canadian government has a program to allow its citizens or permanent residents to do just that if five of them agree one person should enter.